This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ken Bernstein joins me live on the long line. He is a public school teacher, a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia, and a nationally recognized political blogger. He blogs under the name Teacher Ken. Ken, how are you, sir?
Fine, Coy. How about you?
Very good. A little busy, but I guess we're all busy this time of year. A lot going on. Ken is the author of an essay recently published in Teacher Magazine about teaching.
On the website, not in the magazine.
On the website, Teacher Magazine, on the internet, about teaching democracy in schools, which is a particularly fascinating subject to me. And one that I think should get us all up off the couch and off our seats. Ken, set this up for us. What were you writing about here?
Okay, there is a new book by Sam Chaltain, who is the national director of the Forum for Education and Democracy, and has previously worked at First Amendment, the thing that Charlie Haynes runs. I can't even think of the name right now. Anyhow, he did a book called American Schools, The Art of Creating a Democratic Learning Community, and even got a foreword from Sandra Day O'Connor, who has been very active in civic education since she retired from the Supreme Court. I had previously done a review of the book, and I was asked by people in the Teacher Learner Leaders Network, of which I'm a member. There's about 260 of us nationwide, ranging from National Teachers of the Year to State Teachers of the Year to ordinary National Board Certified Teachers like me, to write a little bit of an essay on that, and that is the thing that you're talking about. And the issue here, as much as anything else, is if you grant, which unfortunately not everybody does, that one of the functions of a public school should be preparing our children to be citizens, participants in a democratic republic, which is what we have, then one can make the argument that the way we go about running our schools is almost contrary to that ideal. And what, if anything, can we do about it? What kinds of changes should we be making?
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, a recent essay published on the website for Teacher Magazine regarding teaching democracy in schools. We're honored to have him on the program. Ken, you mentioned that the way we currently teach students in public schools, and arguably in most private schools as well, does not nurture in them the ability or the spirit to take charge and to care for a democratic society. And as a matter of fact, it does just the opposite. It teaches kids to sit quietly, to be obedient, to be orderly, to passively take in information, and definitely not to question authority.
Well, it's not always quite that extreme. Let's be fair about it. There is not necessarily quite as much rigidity that way in a lot of schools, although unfortunately we're tending to see it more as people start to worry about test scores. But let me just see if I can give you something that's as basic as anything else. Too much of the learning that we do is we insist that students learn by themselves and assess them by themselves. And yet in a democracy we expect, and in business, we expect people to learn how to work together and to cooperate. We create a mode of students because of the way that we assess them that tends to make them afraid to take risks. As a result, they never learn how to correct their mistakes, because in a democracy, mistakes are going to be made. Democracies are far from perfect. Many people can turn around and regret a choice of somebody that they voted for because they didn't pay attention to all they should have paid attention to. I'd like to quote, if I can, from Sandra Day O'Connor with what she says in the foreword of the book. Knowledge about our government is not handed down through the gene pool. Every generation has to learn it, and we all learn best by doing. Now, if we're going to learn best by doing, we need to practice really what it means to be a citizen, what it means in terms of democracy, and that's not just having SGA, student government elections.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. He blogs nationally as Teacher Ken. Ken, it really means taking a whole different approach to how the classroom is organized and how the classroom is run to get these kids ready for participation in a democratic society, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can be a dictatorial teacher and maybe impose your will and get sullen compliance to the order that you want. I will tell you that in most cases, from my experience both in teaching, mentoring teachers, and observing other teachers, as well as remembering my own days in a public school classroom, that if the lesson engages the students, you have a lot fewer discipline problems, and the only question may be keeping the enthusiasm in check. Part of that has to be to have the students have some control over their learning, because after all, we're not always going to be there to tell them, write down everything that I have on the board. You have to invoke their interest, show them how they can learn on their own, how they can work with one another to learn on their own, and you may have to use some creativity in coming up with ways how they can demonstrate what they're doing. On a most basic level, and this is, I think, probably scary for most teachers, is to some degree let the students help in the setting up of what the classroom rules and procedures are going to be. There can be an overall framework, because after all, that's what we have. We have a constitution, which is an overall framework. But in theory, we participate in the making of our laws and the people that we elect, and we're not really doing all that much of that. Certainly by a high school level, kids can do this. Sam, in his book, talked about a group of elementary school kids who learned how to do that and did it in such an effective way that when they presented it to the National Association of State Legislators, those people were totally blown away.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, who's the author of a recent essay online at Teacher Magazine that explores the concept of teaching democracy in public schools and what we can do better. Ken, let me ask you a question this way. There's a lot of teachers out there who feel, especially public school teachers, who feel incredibly overwhelmed. They have no control over the number of kids that are in their classroom, more and more kids, more and more limits and frameworks on their teaching, stifling creativity, teach to the test, all this stuff. And this, your plea, really, very intelligent plea for teachers to rethink their approach in the classroom and make more of an effort to create democratic citizens and not just obedient workers. Your plea may fall on some deaf ears for folks who feel like, oh, this is just another criticism. I'm already up to my ears in criticism. What else can I do? I'm doing the best I can with very little.
Well, let's back up. Number one, I am a public school teacher, so I confront all those issues. I have two advanced placement government classes with 37 kids in each of them, which is insane, but we couldn't create a fourth section because the schedule had already been done, and I was unwilling to turn down any kid willing to do the work and take me on as a teacher because I'm a very demanding teacher. Now, the question of how much of this you can do, you can't completely change a culture immediately, and as an individual teacher, you probably cannot do all that much contrary to the school culture. What Sam had worked on before is what was called First Amendment schools, which I guess is the offshoot of the First Amendment Center, where there's a whole school culture that winds up developing this and rethinking everything that you wind up doing. And let's be very serious about it. If you were really approaching this from the standpoint of democracy, you would not be doing everything top-down dictatorial from the U.S. Department of Education to your State Department to your school superintendent to your principal dictating what's going on. In fact, there would be more of a participation in the process of governance of the school. Within the framework of the responsibility of things that kids need to learn, within a framework where there's accountability, what I think many teachers complain about now is, in theory, we're held accountable for student performance, but many of the tools that we could use to help those students do better, including getting them more involved and taking responsibility for their own learning, are taken away from us. That would be kind of like saying, well, we're going to have a democracy, but we're going to tell you how you have to vote and what you get to vote on, and don't bother us with anything else.
Yeah. Ken, I sent you a link recently for a new documentary. We interviewed the filmmaker. The film is The War on Kids, and it's online at thewaronkids.com. And I thought it was really...
I haven't yet had a chance to look at it.
Yeah. I thought it was really fascinating, though, the degree to which all of the stepped-up enforcement and rules and, you know, police in the schools and all this stuff, it truly creates citizens who just don't question authority and become very afraid of authority and very intimidated by authority.
I'm going to disagree. They will not necessarily challenge authority to its face because they know, most of them can understand the limits of it. But that does not mean that they're compliant. They will find their ways of rebelling on a regular basis. I teach teenagers. I see it all the time. As for the question of whether you need police in the building, it comes down to something that is very simple. I, as a teacher, take my license into my hand if I even step in to break up a fight between two kids. I encountered this last week where a fight started between two kids, and the friend of one grabbed the kid, so I quickly grabbed the other because otherwise he would have been pummeling the kid who was being held. The second I touch a kid in that regard, and I'm not required to do it as a teacher, I risk being charged with assault. One of the reasons you have police in schools is you need somebody, unfortunately, with some of the kids who have never experienced what it means for democracy or responsibility in any previous level of schooling or within their homes. You need somebody who has the arrest power who can actually physically grab a kid. I'll put it as bluntly as I can. I have a kid being expelled because he came to school with a knife. Now, he wasn't caught in my classroom. He made the mistake of bragging, and somebody told one of the in-school security people, so they searched him and they found the knife. That, you know, that represents a real threat to safety. What are we supposed to do in that circumstance? So I understand that there is a need for order, but the order does not need to be dictatorial. And in fact, I think if you talk to most good school police officers, they will say your job is a lot easier when kids learn that they have to take responsibility, and if they didn't have kids willing to tell them what's going on, they couldn't do their job. Kids are willing to take responsibility, but too much of what we do takes that away from them.
And that gets to the point in the article where you write that there's a distinction between authoritative and authoritarian.
That distinction was made by Linda Darling Hammond, who is one of the conveners or the organizers of the Forum for Education and Democracy. And my best information is she was the second choice for Secretary of Education. Let me quote that to you. The middle ground between permissiveness and authoritarianism is authoritative practice. Authoritative treatment sets limits and consequences within a context that fosters dialogue, explicit teaching about how to assume responsibility, and democratic decision-making.
We're talking with public school teacher Ken Bernstein. Ken, what are you seeing in the public schools now that gives you hope, that gives you any reason to look forward and say, hey, I think things can really get better?
There are some efforts that are going on coming from public school teachers to address a variety of issues. The group that I'm to teach, Teacher Leaders Network, has a number of such teachers. We are starting to see teachers included in the dialogue of decision-making. There was recently a forum on Capitol Hill with a number of elected officials, and one of our members, a former Teacher of the Year from Mississippi, was there to present what it means to include teachers in the decision-making process. I see teachers who are finding ways of trying, well, let me put it this way. I'm lucky. I have a principal, and I'm in a school that tries to back what teachers need to be able to do, but we're constricted to some degree by what comes down from the State Department of Education and our school system. Also, ultimately, I think when you try to go in any other direction and claim that what you're going to do is improve education, it's going to fall flat on its face and people are going to scratch their heads and say, okay, what do we do now? And then maybe they'll start listening to those teachers who've been wrestling with these issues for years. I'm in my 15th year of teaching. I've been dealing with these issues since I started.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, public school teacher and nationally recognized political blogger. He blogs online as Teacher Ken. So, Ken, I think if you could wave a magic wand and change the system, whether at your school or at all the schools, what's one thing you'd like to see happen that you think is doable?
One thing is doable is possibly within every single class that you're doing, at least at the secondary level, is thinking of how you can do assignments which give students some choice as to how they do an assignment. That's a start, because when they choose, well, instead of doing an essay, what I want to do is a graph with explanations, that means they're taking responsibility and making a decision. And in that little small step in itself, they're already starting to take ownership of their learning and take responsibility, which is part of what is necessary in learning to become a democratic citizen.
Don't see a lot of as much work in groups perhaps as we used to? Is that right? Am I on track there?
It depends on where you are. In some curriculum with some teachers, you may do a lot of working groups. The problem that you run into is because we place such weights on grades, which we calculate to a tenth of a point and this and that, and the kids learn that and get very worried about what it's going to mean, is taking something out that could mean a lower grade. But then you also run into parents who worry that, well, my kid is going to suffer because there's some other kid in the group who's not carrying his load.
Sure, sure.
Welcome to democracy. What are you going to do about it, and how are you going to work through that? I think it is possible to use some judgment and be able to handle that so that there is both an individual component to a grade as well as a group project to the grade. And there are a lot of creative ways, and there's a lot of literature on how to do that. But you're right that with the pressure that we've had for individual test scores under No Child Left Behind, that tends to remove some of the working that has been done of teaching people how to work in groups.
Yeah. Ken, where can folks go to read the complete essay?
Well, you'd have to go to, it's a long URL, but what I'm going to make a suggestion is if anybody wants the URL, they can email me at teacherken@gmail.com.
Or they could go to SorensenInstitute.org and click on the newsroom, and we have it there as well.
You also have it there as well, but I can also then, if you contact me directly, I will be very happy to also provide you with a link to the book review that I did so you can learn more about that particular book. And I would also strongly suggest that you explore the Forum for Education, which I believe is I will, if they contact me, I will give them the URL for the Forum for Education, which has a lot of resources that are relevant to this.
TeacherKen@gmail.com. Ken, it's always great to talk to you. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.